Welcome to the second season of Operational Harmony, balancing business and mental well-being, where we achieve goals without sacrificing peace. Our host, Nikki, is the owner and founder of Nikki's Office, where she specializes in social media management, business audits, and business coaching. Her journey through mental health and entrepreneurship not only brings awareness, but also equips her with valuable coping skills. This unique experience offers a fresh perspective on approaching challenges and innovating in different ways. Let's introduce our guest.
Hi, my name is Julie Caraccio, and I'm the owner of Reawaken Your Brilliance, and I'm passionate about supporting people in decluttering in all areas of their lives.
So are you like that Marie Kondo lady?
No, maybe a little bit, perhaps. I would say that Marie Kondo and I definitely share some similarities because I do help people declutter their homes. And I like how she is a big picture like I am. I love that she tells people to say gratitude and give thanks to things before they let them go. I think that's very important. And I think that can definitely help you let go of things, but I expand upon that. So for instance, we'll talk about mental clutter, emotional, spiritual, technology clutter, right? My definition of clutter is this: it's anything that prevents you from creating a life and home that you love, right? So it can be just about anything that you have clutter in.
So my reason for asking that is Marie Kondo is famous for saying that people should only have 30 books. And I guarantee you, I have way more than that, and I am not giving it to anyone else.
You know what? You're not alone, and that's okay. I'll be honest. I'm not a fan. I think things like that can serve as guidelines, right? I think one of the mistakes that you can make is becoming so strict about a rule that it's not a good thing. I'll share an example with you. I was at one of, when I first started my business, I was in a networking event and I said what I did and someone said, "Ohio, only handle it once," regarding paper. And I was like, that doesn't work for most of us. And here's the example I use. I go to the store, I buy something. So I have a receipt, right? So I've handled it. Then I put it in my little receipts folder. Then when I check my credit card at the end of the month, I'm touching the receipt again. And then depending, it goes in the recycling bin or it goes for taxes or if it's a warranty. So I've handled it more than once and I've just blown up that rule, but I'm organized, right? So that's why I say, I think they can, things like that can be useful as guidelines, but don't get so caught up and get rigid about it.
Yeah, I don't. So my philosophy is rules are meant to be there. There's a reason usually that there is a rule. Some rules you cannot get anywhere near, like acts of violence or things like that. There's a line there. You don't go anywhere near those things, right? In a normal society. But there are other things that are, oh, if you like swimming, you can go out further in a lake. But if you're not good at swimming, you should definitely stay closer to the thing. So there's two different rules there. I don't like it if the rule is specifically meant to keep me somewhere and let everybody else be perfectly fine. But other than that, all rules have that thing where it doesn't really fit this person because they have a special need or a mental health problem, or it's a Tuesday and they ain't falling for it today. That type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
And unless you're in the military, don't listen to any of the thing I just said about rules. If you're in the military, you have a whole different set of guidelines. I'm not messing with. But yeah, that whole, the only reason why I even know who that Marie Kondo is because she said that you should only own 30 books, and every single group I'm in for books went ape crap on it. They were like, no, you met on my desktop, didn't you? Or you met on my nightstand. Yeah, no.
I understand that. Books are the hardest thing for me to let go. And I'll tell you what helped me do it. I just took about 3.5 boxes to the library. I'm on the Friends of the Library committee, and we have a spring sale and a fall sale, so it's going to help raise funds for the library. So that's something. But every year I allow myself to say, okay, let's go through it. And I've kept books. Like one of my all-time favorite books is Eat, Pray, Love. And that's something that I like to read every couple years. And so I have that. There are cookbooks. I'm old school. I want something that I can do. And that's okay if books are your thing. But we run into problems when books are your things and video games are your things and I have cats. So cat toys are your thing, right? When you have all that, then it becomes overwhelming and then it becomes too much. And it's about
having discerning. Books and having cats is sometimes very much not the thing. Cats will claw at the books. Cats will pee on books.
Never had that issue. Never
had
that issue.
When I was in high school, my mom got a boyfriend from being stupid. And the thing is, he moved into our house with 9 cats. And I was absolutely not okay. No. 9? Are you kidding me? No. It was bad. And if they got in my room, they would claw all over my books and stuff. And nope, I got to the point where if somebody opened my door without my permission, I was screaming in rage because all my stuff was getting ruined by some stupid cats. The only problem I had were 9 of them.
And if they're in a small state, that would be a challenge.
There was too many cats for the area we had. And they were old, so like they were set in their ways, and they just would not go anywhere near the litter box for anything.
They might have had that. You have to check the physical. Are there any physical issues? And your kitties can get dementia too. We had a kitty that was 19 when he passed, and towards the end, I think there was a little bit of cognitive stuff going on.
I was 16 at the time. That was not something I can tell anybody. They did a cat check out, so I just told them they needed to go because I was not cleaning up after them all the time. Makes it true, it didn't make them take it away, but it was not okay with 9 cats. I was also in ROTC and I kept getting points taken off of me for the amount of cat hair I had on me that I could not get off. Don't know this.
Fun.
Black and cat hair are like ancient enemies. So, I probably sound like I hate cats. That is not the truth. I hate 9 cats in one house. That is too many cats.
That's a lot.
What are some of the situations that you've helped with somebody, like, mentally be able to declutter?
One of the things that's important is, obviously, everyone's different. But mental clutter to me might be something like insomnia, stress, not believing in yourself. And so depending on what it is, I think one of the things that makes a difference and why I look at clutter holistically is if you clean up your desk, it's going to help your mental clutter, right? It's going to help your mental state of mind. And if you clean the physical part, once you're mentally clear, that allows you to have more time and energy to clear up your space. Does that make sense? So in other words, inner reflects the outer and vice versa. So that's why it's happened. I'll tell you one of the most impactful working with someone was, and it was, I started out early on and we were working on a sock drawer and this woman had a memory and all of a sudden she said, I was abused as a child. And so what I like to say when I go and work with clients is I hold space, right? I hold space for healing, whatever needs to come up. And I wasn't qualified to work with her on that issue. And I said, you know what? I'll find some referrals for you. But everything's energy. So just in that simple act of her going through her bedroom and clearing all that clutter, that allowed that memory to surface. And it was a space and time where she could begin to heal that, right? And so shifting our energy, opening up space can have tremendous impact. So there are other times clutter can affect our relationships. I had one client and this was her second marriage. It was second marriage for both of them. But they had so much clutter on the dining room table, they couldn't sit down and eat, right? And so when we cleared that up, then they began talking again. That helped her relationship in the mental state because they were connecting again, whereas they previously hadn't been. So there's really power behind the cluttering. This is a couple of examples.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and one other thing I should add. Depression causes clutter, and clutter causes depression. When I'm talking about the inner and outer, mm-hmm. earlier it's the same present. You're depressed and you don't want to declutter. Declutter, if it's the clutter is there, and then you become depressed. So that can be a vicious cycle that people can get caught up in, and you can understand that.
At one point, I lived by myself, and the clutter would get so bad because I was massively not okay at the time. And so with my mental health being where it was, it would get to the point where I was like, I know I did this, but I can't, like, I don't have the energy to fix this right now. But yet, by waiting, it made it worse. And so eventually I would have a friend talking to me on the phone so that I could go through it and do it, because there was just, I was hanging on to life by a thread. And sometimes the clutter seemed like it was going to be the thing that flipped that thread, because I didn't want to be living like I was, but I couldn't figure out any other way. I have long hair. My hair goes down to my waist. Wow. And before I met my friend, who French braids it for me into two braids, I was living in Washington State, and my therapist at that time went, I can tell how good or bad you've been over the last week by how good or bad your hair is. And that kind of made me go, fair, completely fair. Because if I was doing okay, I would spend the time to get the knots out of my hair. My hair is one of those things that if you blink at it wrong, it's going to knot, which is why the French braids help. But I don't want to keep it short either, because then it makes my face look like a round, plumpy thing. It's bad. Believe me. Go with it. And I have to be careful that, because I don't mind having some clutter. In fact, my brain can think if I have a tiny bit of clutter. But if I even put one extra thing in there and it's too much, then I'll start failing at anything I'm trying to do.
You know what? I'm glad that you brought up that point, because when we were talking earlier about the Ohio only handle it once, there are different levels that are acceptable to people. I'm not Martha Stewart, and I do this for a living. Hey, if I had an army of assistants and I had time to sit around all day and clean and do all that, but I can find, this is what I tell people. I can relax in my home. I can find what I need. I feel at peace. So it works for me. And one thing I say to people, like, maybe it was a rule of thumb to guide you. If someone says, hey, I'm coming over, you're like, okay, it's going to take me 5 minutes to straighten up. Or you're like, I didn't need an hour to straighten up. And that works for me. So find something that works for you. And then ask yourself the question, is it costing me? Is my clutter costing me anything? That's when it becomes a problem. Again, it's not, I hate this Instagram and all these perfectly color code and yada, yada, yada. You know what? It's not realistic for 95% of us. If you, again, have a ton of money, have at it. And you can pay someone to maintain it and do it. Or you have all the time in the world, have at it. There's zero judgment against that. But for most of us, it's not realistic.
Yeah, no, I can't have only one thing on my desk. I can't have. And everything is brown. Why did color get taken away from so many people? I don't get that either. But they go, the aesthetic is to be clean lines and whatever, but then it's got to be brown or white, and then that's it. Even with toys and stuff, and it's so weird to me.
Yeah, no, I'm a color person.
Yes, I like color. So, staying with the mental health side of things for a minute, I don't want you to hear too much because that's not good, but how do you help someone with the smaller problems? Yes, I understand that somebody being abused in their childhood is not something you can help with if you're not certified, whatever. But, like, I have two sock drawers, but I share probably way too much for being the mental health that I have. But I have two sock drawers because at multiple points in my childhood, I didn't have socks and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
So now I have all different types. I have ones that work good in winter. I have great ones that work in the summer. And I have great socks. But, and I only throw, and I do throw away the ones once they get worn out or whatever. I'm not like keeping anything that's not working. I'm not putting socks on that have holes in them or anything. But I have a lot of socks. On the side.
If you become present, I understand why you're keeping your socks. Again, there's no judgment of this, but mm-hmm. that happened in your past when you couldn't have socks. In this moment, you show me you can have socks because you have two drawer full. So when you become present, then the past no longer has a hold over you. Now, you know what? I have enough socks here, so I can pare it down to one drawer. Now, if it's as socks are particularly challenging for you, then you know what? It's about doing a little bit every year. Right? Or whatever timeline works for you. Like I share that books are hard for me. I let about 4 boxes go this year, but it's because I constantly work at it. And I know for me, it's what I like to call my clutter kryptonite. Oh my gosh, what do I have to pay attention to? Because if not, I'm going to end up with a house full of it. So I'm aware of that. So I make sure, you know what, let's breathe for a moment. Do I really need to buy that? But becoming present and you'll know, you know what, I'm okay. I'm safe. I have money to buy socks. I can let some go. So that's an example. Like we were working together, one of the things I'd start off with. And the more, you don't always have to, but I think, see, you knew right away, here's why I have all these socks, because I didn't have it in childhood. I think that's wonderful awareness. And awareness plus action equals change. So anytime you can increase your awareness, and here's an example. So I had a client once. And she had about a couple feet high, all these stacks of clippings. And I said, what's going on with these clippings? Why, there's this big old stack. They're several years old. And she said, oh, that's my stack. I'm going to send those to people. So I found a recipe that I thought so-and-so, I thought an article, and she hadn't sent it. So as we were talking, and I'm questioning her, and we're having this conversation, all of a sudden she said, I'm afraid if I don't send articles, recipes to people, then they're not going to love me. And as soon as she expressed that, she knew that was a false statement. We chucked it all in the recycling bin. That's making that connection, having that awareness, having that understanding. And then she knew, oh, that's not true. Bam, there you go.
Yeah.
And I believe we all have the wisdom within. And so I just see my job as holding the space and allowing people to bring that to the surface, because you know what's best for you. I don't. You have that inner wisdom.
Okay. What is your, still on the mental health side, so what is your favorite time you help somebody organize something, hit one of those ideas that went, oh my God, this is why, and that kind of thing. What is your favorite memory of the different people you?
That's a mean question. You're going to make me choose one. Oh, okay. I'm going to choose this one. So I was working with a client and she had a basement full of stuff. This was her parents' stuff. And so things that had, I'm not exaggerating, had been in boxes, never opened for 20 years. So one of the things, and this will be good for all your listeners as well, is I truly believe this. My mom died almost 4 years ago. And when people leave and go on to the next adventure, you are free. You are not required. They want you to be happy, right? All this material stuff's gone. They're out of their body. And so what was happening with her was she had tremendous guilt. I can't let go of this stuff. It was my parents and they left it for me and they gave this for me. And I said, they wouldn't want you to feel burdened. And so when working, this was over several months and working, we were finally able to have her let stuff go, donated, garage sale, a variety of ways to let it go. But what was so awesome about it is then it opened up space in her basement for her to become doing jewelry, right? To start, she'd always had a pad, like, I want to learn how to make jewelry and make things. But when we got let go of that stuff and curated a collection of meaningful things, right? I'm not to say to everyone, you don't have to be a minimalist. You don't have to throw everything away. But she was able to curate and hold on to things that meant something and create space for her to do something and find a new passion. So that's one, I would say, one of my favorites.
So I heard a story yesterday. It's a Reddit story, so hats off. I don't know if it's true or not. But this couple, right, finally buys a home, right? And finally afford to move into a home. And all of a sudden, her parents start dropping off furniture. Weirdly, you have to have this. You have to have this. Here's this. And this furniture isn't, like, in good condition. It's not, this is, it's you junk, know, what we want junky. To help you with. It's all dirty. There's rips in the stuff, the specks in the mirrors. They found stuff in the attic from before they started, like, actually showing them what they were giving them. And so the husband is, you're not bringing anything else here. I can't use my garage. We got to get rid of all of this stuff. We can't do anything. And the dad got mad and he's like, you're going to regret this. So then he brings over, without them being there, this huge couch that would, like, barely fit in the room, the living room, and completely messed with the setup. Ugly, bright colored flowers all over it. And they just kept bringing stuff. And so finally the guy was like, the wife clued in and was able to say, no, we can't do this anymore. We're not taking your stuff. So now both of them are together saying no. And they went off the deep end and brought like a box truck over and was like, you have to take all of this. And the guy was like, if you take any stuff out of that thing, you will have it thrown away by tomorrow. You are not leaving your
crap here. Good for them for setting boundaries.
We are not doing this. Ended up having to take these people to court because after everything, after they finally agreed not to give any more stuff, like apparently because they gave them stuff, they figured they should have been in on the mortgage because their furniture and stuff gave like 12% of the mortgage or whatever. And the guy was like, the hell have I given up 12% of my mortgage? No, you're not getting in on this. This is not how this works. And ended up having to fight in court and keep getting rid of things. They had to change locks and get cameras and have cops on stuff. It was like really bad. But they learned in the end that it was more about control than it was about actual family stuff. Because the stuff was garbage. And yeah. I want to hear what you think of that. Because me, I'm sitting there the whole time going, get a restraining order. Before you did, what are you doing? You're sleeping.
Well, I think they needed to set boundaries earlier. I wonder if there's a tad bit of mental illness in there. I get control. I truly understand control. But this is an extreme. And also sometimes with possession, this is what I feel qualified to speak on, that if it's been in the family, people can also share an example. So when we moved here, in our prior house, we had two guest rooms. And so I had my grandmother's furniture as a child. And it was great. Had a twin bed in each. We move here. I'm like, my office is technically a bedroom and we have one other bedroom. So I said, okay, I'm going to donate it unless someone else in the family, and I ask everyone in the family, because if someone wants it, but they didn't want it, but they didn't want me to let it go. And then I said, then you're taking it. And so that's what happened. It's in someone's basement, which I know I will probably deal with later. And that is what it is. But sometimes that, even though it would have been my possession for 20 years, they weren't able to let it go. So that could be a thread in it, but like asking for the mortgage, that's why I wonder if there's a little bit of mental illness going on. That's like kind of or delusional, which I don't know enough to know about mental illness. Like you really think you're going to get someone to pay the mortgage, giving them crap. But there are people like out there that truly believe it. So that's my take on it.
They said that they had contributed to about 12% of the mortgage because they gave them all that stuff. And
yeah, no.
I'm like, no, you inconvenienced us for 50% of the mortgage. You want to pay something, pay half of it, and you still ain't leaving your stuff here. Because he was taking it from multiple houses. It was garbage. It was like bad. It was so bad. And I was just, this is nuts.
Yeah, and the fact that they couldn't resolve it and had to go to court is sad.
The wife at first was like, just keep the peace. And he's going, no, I'm not want all this garbage. And then finally she saw, no, this is bad. We can't keep just keeping the peace. So it turned into a whole thing.
Which I want to add a point here. Don't donate junk. Because, like, for instance, in California, if you donate junk to a charity, they have to pay a landfill fee. So you have now cost them time, energy, and money by donating your junk. If you wouldn't donate it to a friend or a family member, then don't donate. Like, you don't, if you have clothes that are stained, then rip them up and make rags into them, right? And use them for cleaning. Mm-hmm. Don't give it to a homeless person because you think it's better off. Don't, I have shared this story too. I had a friend that grew up in foster care. And she said there was nothing more disappointing to have a puzzle donated or a game donated, and you get down to it and there are like three puzzle pieces missing, or the game doesn't have all the parts. So just be mindful when you donate.
Yeah. I always donate brand new stuff and that kind of thing. I was in foster care for a year when I was young, and it was what the horror stories talk about. I have advised other people when they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to take my cat. I'm like, doesn't it have a cut in the fabric? Don't do that. That's garbage.
Yeah.
Send that to the garbage. Unless you're willing to do something to fix that, don't do that. Just because they're poor doesn't mean they want your trash.
Absolutely.
Do you want the things you don't want anymore if they still work and are in good condition and you haven't done anything stupid weird with them? Sure. But other than that, don't just, that's just making people feel bad for where they are in life, and that's stupid.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're going to switch over to business topics now. So how long have you been a organizer?
Since 2009.
Wow. And so, where do you live?
I'm in Wheeling, West Virginia. I started my business when I was in Raleigh, North Carolina. It wasn't on the plan to move back to my hometown, but life happens.
West Virginia? You started in 2009? I was in Tennessee then. So I've been in a couple states too since. I've been in a lot of states since. Went from Tennessee, Washington State, to Maryland, to Texas, and now I'm going to go. I travel. Way too much. Okay, so when you started, what was the idea behind it? I know, because I have my own business, that for me, basically, I just started working with somebody. There was no real big plan. But I do know that for most businesses, you require a plan to get started. So tell me how you got started.
I was more like you. I was in a job. My background is fundraising, grant writing, development. I was working for a nonprofit that went under 3 years after I started my business. And pretty quickly, I knew this place is crazy. So I was like, I just don't want to get another job. I want to own my own business. But what are my skills? So I went to SCORE, which, if anyone's listening, is a valuable resource. Those are retired professionals in different areas. Like, I talked to marketing, setting up a business, and they're a great resource. And so I was like, got a website, picked a name, really thought through that, and just said, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to start, and I just did it. And I was so exhausted. I didn't have a client the first day that I did, but I started networking. When I was living in Raleigh, there were a lot of women's groups. There was called Coffee and Contacts. It's, I think, now Women's Power Networking, but that's where I started. And that's how I started to get clients. And then it grew from there, and I've done different things. I had a podcast like you for a decade, and that's how it went. Technically, yeah, you should probably have a good old business plan, but I didn't do that. But it's worked out. It's been okay. And the only other thing I would say is you have to adapt. I think that's really important. You have to be able, at least for a solopreneur, I'll talk from my experience, I think you are better off if you're able to adapt, because life happens, things happen, and it just, you're in a better position if you can do that.
COVID happened.
Yes.
I know for me, because I lived in Texas, I guess, when I finally was like, oh yeah, I need to have a logo, so I guess I should have a business name. Because I was just helping people. It wasn't set up or anything. And I was like, you know what? I think I'm supposed to have like a business name. And so I looked into it. And if I didn't, want to set up as a weird thing, if you start, okay, so in Texas, if you make a business that's called Innovative Designs, you have to go pay for a license.
Oh,
because it has no, it doesn't have your name attached to it. But if your name, either first or last, is somewhere in the name of your business, you don't have to do that. So I was like, okay, great.
Interesting.
Nikki's Office. That makes sense. We'll go with that. So that's why mine is stupid simple, which is probably a good thing anyway, because it's simple. Did you have any of those limitations in North Carolina?
No. And
West Virginia, moving?
No, but I ended up changing my business name, which I definitely don't recommend, because when I started, it's a big pain in the bum. It was called Healing Through Organization, because I wanted to convey, oh my gosh, you heal, this helps heal. And then I did an internet TV show, and I fell in love with the name Reawaken Your Brilliance, which is my business name now, which would probably get a big ant because it's not very good SEO, and it doesn't tell you what to do. But you know what? I fell in love with it, and I'm sticking with it, so I'm okay with it. But if doing it over, but healing, yeah. So no limits otherwise.
My Facebook is an interesting thing to try to do. Like, I have clients where I do the monthly posting, so content calendar and stuff. And it keeps them up to date or whatever. My Facebook does not have one thing. So insurance, you have insurance. You have homeowner's insurance. You have car insurance. But it's all insurance. And so you get points for that on Facebook, and you get bumped up the line. I do 6 or 7 different things at this point, plus the podcast. Yeah, it is real hard to get anywhere because I don't fit any niche. I fit a lot of different niches, and Facebook and everybody else does not like that.
Yeah.
Bungies.
Yes.
So are you finding, is your social media... Are you doing social media of any kind to grow your business?
Yes, and I hate it. I hate social media. So I'm on Facebook, I'm on LinkedIn, I'm on YouTube. I left Twitter. I should probably get on Blue Sky more for personal. And I'm on Instagram. So I think I had, like you, I did a podcast for a decade. It was very successful. I put it on YouTube. I do shorts. So I think that you need to find, everyone be on TikTok. I'm like, yeah, I'm not getting on TikTok. But I think find what works for you and be successful. So for instance, like on LinkedIn, I've been working on that. And so my LinkedIn spiel or deal focuses only on my speaking engagement. I'm looking for corporate employee presentation. That's what LinkedIn focuses on. That's what I want. I'm not going to get an organizing client out of that. I'm not going to get a coaching client on that. And so it's just being very purposeful in your social media and understanding who's your audience and how you approach them.
Have you ever heard of Alignable?
Oh no, maybe I have. That sounds familiar, but I can't tell you what it does.
It is also a networking site.
Okay, good to know.
I'm on there. I've won Business of the Year twice now.
Wow.
In my town. Well, they do it by town. And the next person down in second place had 2 votes. One of them was for me. A lot of people who had 1 vote were for me. But so it's not like everybody's real active in my area to do that. Some places, like if you live in an actual town, that might work better. I would say cities, but here in Arkansas, people think cities are like these towns, and it drives me nuts. A big town, you're still a town, you don't have high rises, you have nothing. You are not a city. You are a town. And then I get yelled at because it has plenty of people in it. Then where's all the housing for them? There's no there's no three third level buildings. Everything is below that. So it's a little weird for me. But so those kind of denser areas would be harder to get to get business of the year in. But I am connected to a couple people. One person that I'm connected to was number 6 in the nation for
wow.
the business of the year thing. So
that's impressive.
That was pretty good. But it has meetings that you can go to where you get put into breakout rooms with either 1 to 2 other people, and you can talk and network. And how it's like places where you can post stuff that you can't schedule on Alana, but you have to actually just go and put them on there.
Gotcha. Okay.
But yeah, it's a great thing. And if you're listening, I am not a spokesman for them. I pay money to them to be on that site. But it's a great way to network, because it's not like LinkedIn where everybody's just expected to do their thing and meet behind the scenes. No, your meetings mm-hmm. are up front, and like you're meeting with people, and then you get to afterwards, you connect with the people you actually like. And every once in a while, you get into one of those things and you're talking to the person for the 7 minutes, and you're like, this dude, not happening. Don't want to have nothing to do with him after this. This is nope. Especially if they're Amway. Yeah. You cannot connect with people you don't want to. Be careful. They still might want to connect with you. But you can say no. In Alignable, I have over 250 contacts.
Oh, okay.
Which is pretty good. But in Alignable, yeah. I mean, in LinkedIn, I think I have 15, 20, 30. I don't know. I have a really low number. Because I'm not willing to go out and spam everybody. Hi, my name is this. Can I please be your friend?
Yeah.
And that's basically what you have to do. Yeah. Don't come at me, gurus. I know you have a whole plan. Mm-hmm. But it's basically messaging people and being like, hey, I want to sell something to you. I don't do sales like that. That's not how I roll. I don't want to. I'm very selfish to do that. Oh, yes. I want to talk to you. For my own benefit, so please come talk to me.
Yeah.
And most people on LinkedIn are trying to get away from that because they keep getting the MLM scams and all that going on. I just would rather leave people alone. I post to LinkedIn, but I tend to leave people alone.
Yeah.
What are your top 3 tips for being organized as a solopreneur in a home office?
Top 3 tips for being organized in your home office. I am a fan. First tip is create zones. And so what I mean by that, I have a zone for office equipment. So like printer, office supplies, things of that. I have my library, right? So I have reference books like writing and things of that. So I think that creating zones is one suggestion. Number 2, I want to talk about your desk area. That is prime real estate. So that is a place that we want to keep clutter-free. We want to keep it organized and only what you're using frequently, right? If you need something like, I keep my reference books, I'm not using that daily. So if I have to get up and walk 5 steps, it's okay. But just remember that your desk is prime real estate and to treat it that way. And let's see. Oh, and you know what? The other tip I'm going to share for home office is your computer desktop. That's clutter-free. Keep that clean. Don't have all the orphans hanging out. I like to have a folder of frequently used items. If someone says to me, hi, I'd like to work with you, I have an assessment, right? So in that folder, a contract, like 5 or 6 documents that I use all the time. So bam, I know where it is. I can access it. And so when I'm responding to email, I can use it. So those are my 3 quick tips.
Desktop. I will pick on anybody who shares a screen and their desktop is full of stuff, because I'm like, you do know that you're not supposed to do that. You should clean that now. Make that go away. I should never have seen that. Do not show me that again. And so they'll usually clean it because I'm freaking out on them. But my other tip is, because like you said you have that folder of common things. So if you look at your File Explorer, and the way it's set up with on the left hand side, it has like the desktop downloads, documents and stuff. If you have a folder you want to get to frequently that is six steps down in documents, right click on it and say pin to quick start. And that will put it on the bottom of that list of things. And then you can move it to wherever you want so you can see it easier. That way, your little folder of I have to be able to see this all the time doesn't have to be on the desktop because you know exactly where you've put it on File Explorer. I use my File Explorer every day to get around to the different people I help to make sure I'm saving things in the right place. And that way I'm not missing anything. And that goes great. But being able to know, because I'm not going to go chasing six steps down where that stupid customer's file got put 6 months ago, because I'm not going to remember. But if I pin it to the quick start with their, which is their folder name is their name, because that's who I'm helping with it. Then that.
Yep.
If it's something that you frequently use for everybody, you can put important files on it and stick it up there somewhere. It's convenient to do it that way, because then you can go in there and drag it into the email or into, if you have text on your computer like I do, I can take that file and put it right into there so that they can then have that on their phone and send it to themselves through email.
Good tip.
Lots of stuff that you can do to stay away from having 70 bills. Look, I actually, I don't know how this person did this. I don't. I have no idea. But they have little pictures, right? Lined up in line, all the way across the picture that were horizontal. Then they went back line by line to every single thing and did vertical images through the whole thing. And I'm sitting there going, stop it! You're killing me. You can't do that anymore. You have to put it on a file. I don't even know how you did that or why you did that. I don't care. But that should not be there. Don't do that. It's crazy to me that people think that that is normal. This is not normal. Don't do that. My desktop usually has the trash bin and up to five icons of different things that I may need to get to. And that's it.
Good job.
Don't talk to me about tabs. I cannot help you with tabs. The tab game is about three windows and 16 tabs per window. It's probably a bad thing, but it works. But there's nothing on my, actually right now I only have a trash can. I just delete it all as my icon. Yeah, don't do that. I'm sorry, that is a big massive pet peeve of mine when people share their screen and you're flooded with all these files. I'm like, oh, you're giving me a headache.
I get that. You know it's clutter. Yeah. Yeah.
My eyes are like, what is happening? So we did the best thing. And maybe only have one mouse for your computer. I technically have two. But that's because I PC game instead of console gaming. So I don't have any clutter from it, except when playing WoW, you need lots of extra buttons. So I have a button mouse. Okay. But it's way too sensitive to use when I'm working because it goes flying across the screen.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't have one. Okay.
Yeah. No, my mouse, it's a pretty mouse, too.
Oh, wow. It is.
The lights in there and everything. But it's got 9 buttons on the side so that I can heal people because I have to do it fast or they die. And then they're like, what's the car up? And I'm like, you were stepping in fire. Get out of it. A lot of times I had to say that. So, is there anything I haven't asked about that you wanted to share about?
I just hope that people take away from our interview to see clutter as the bigger picture and not just the papers on your desk, but understanding, you know, about my definition that it's anything that prevents you from creating a life and space you love. And the other thing I would say, this kind of goes from my holistic beliefs, is to remember that you are good enough, you are worthy, and you are loved no matter what, because we have people telling us that we aren't every single day. So I hope people will remember that. Well, can I tell people where they can find out more about me? Can I just say, if people go to my website, reawakenyourbrilliance.com, I offer a free newsletter. They can sign up and I give them 10 free tips that they can start to declutter their life right now. Don't need to wait.